Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Iona head basketball coach Rick Pitino wants college basketball officials to consider starting its season in January, and teams should only play league games in hopes of getting things under control with COVID-19. Novak Djokovic and his wife Helena have tested negative for the coronavirus, his media team said Thursday, 10 days after announcing that the couple had contracted the disease. It's confusing times, man. What's going on? And everyone's angry. You notice down here in Miami, like 17 fights yesterday, just fist fights in the middle of the streets.
Fighting about everything, fighting all the time. Can't agree on facts, like just can't agree. You could present people with facts and there's disagreement.
And finally, a 20-year-old golden retriever in Tennessee is being hailed as the longest living dog of her breed after becoming the first on record to surpass the milestone age. The Golden Heart Golden Retrievers Rescue said August, known affectionately as Augie, of course, is believed to be the oldest ever golden retriever at an age of 20 years and 61 days and counting. The breed has an average lifespan of 10 to 12 years. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Let's put this on the poll at Le Batard Show on Twitter. And again, as we are an hour from taking a vacation break, Juju Gotti will be handling all of our social media stuff over the next 10 days or so. I wanted to ask you, Stugat, if you want an NBA delayed broadcast, because it's what we're going to get at Le Batard Show. Do you want, they're trying to get rid of the language, right? You don't want to, I want to hear those guys talking to each other, but it looks like they're going to go delay because they can't have those guys, you know, they can't have us hearing what players are saying to each other.
Selfishly, I would like no delay, but I totally understand why you would put a delay in. I do want to hear these guys talk, but in real time, but I understand why they won't grant us access to that.
Why is it delayed, though? I mean, every other game is live. They didn't just learn how to curse.
No, because you're not going to have fans. You're going to be able to pick up the audio. And if you okay, very good. Thank you. It was good talking about it.
Pump
with
in
you.
Fake crowd noise. Do something.
Because I was trying to figure out what exactly would make this super special about the postseason. And I was like, well, the trash talk. Everything's going to feel like a hard top backyard game, like in the cage or Rucker Park. You're going to hear a lot of trash talking. Players are going to take stuff personally. You have TJ Warren playing Jimmy Butler twice inside of a week. I was really excited about this, but now you're going to remove the actual cool part about this. That's a bummer.
I would say whatever is being said at Rucker Park is not suitable for television, Mike. That's why they made that decision.
Am I wrong here? I would pay extra to have the unfiltered version hearing what they would say.
It should be an option.
All right, put that on the poll. Would you pay extra to have the unfiltered cursing version? Also, Mike, nationally, I'm not saying that Miami fans don't care about that, but you limping in with TJ Warren versus Jimmy Butler, I know Miami cares about that. Mike, I know it was contentious. I know it was wonderful. And again, it's TJ Warren.
Man, I was alerted to the fact that TJ Warren is playing Jimmy Butler twice in 1 week thanks to Rachel Nichols, who hosts The Jump, which is a national show. This, all the hostility coming to a head twice in 1 week. This is a major plot line. If you're not invested in the regular season component of this NBA bubble, I just gotcha.
And what Dan doesn't realize is TJ Warren on any given night can light you up for 45 points. And Mike wants to hear what Jimmy Butler's going to say or TJ is going to say on a night that TJ does it. And conversely, Jimmy Butler can light you up as well. I mean, Mike is right. That is a great underrated matchup coming up here.
All right.
I understand what they're trying to do because it's not just curse words. Like we just saw the Jordan documentary and there was plenty of curse words on ESPN property. So I would argue, wait, why not make the dirty version on ESPN2 and on ESPN1, the family friendly version or something to that effect. But I mean, NBA player trash talk probably crosses several lines, and maybe that's what they're trying to prevent us from hearing, not just the occasional F-bomb.
I need, because this show can be whack-a-mole sometimes, I need to put these things on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is TJ Warren ever involved in what Mike Ryan described as a major storyline? And, because you're not going to skate on this one either, Stugatz.
Oh, boy.
Can TJ Warren give you 45 points any given night?
I'm guessing TJ Warren has never scored 45 points.
I don't know
points.
Why you did that. I really have no earthly... I have no earthly... Can you look up the career high for me on TJ Warren as you say TJ Warren can give you 45? Because I'm going to go the opposite on that. I'm going to say TJ Warren can't give you 45 on any given night.
I know what's happening here. Stugatz has played some fantasy basketball, and TJ Warren is a bit of a streamer. He's had a couple of great performances, but I don't think ever 45 points.
His career high is 40.
Wow. Okay. A lot higher than I thought it was going to be. I'll tell you that. 40. I don't feel like he can give you 40 any night because.
Well, he did.
Well, what is he average? What is he average?
I don't know. I have to check it out. I just looked up his career high.
That's a different conversation, Dan. Not what is he average. Any given night, you know, just flash in the pan. Like, you could get hit by lightning at any given night. It could happen.
Thank you, Billy, because Dan didn't just want to take the L. He's got to keep pushing until he can win this argument.
I can't win the argument. Wait a minute. First of all, I can't lose the argument that TJ Warren can give you 45 any night because he's never given you 45 on any night. So I can't lose that argument. I will concede that the losing part of the argument is I did not know that TJ Warren had once gone for 40.
He averages 15 per game for his career. Now, 18.7 this past year. But, Dan, if you can go for 40, then on any given night, you can go for 45.
Exactly. Yeah. If
you haven't gone for 45 on any given night, yeah, it's not.
But it's shot here, shot there, and it's a 45.
You absolutely can, Dan. Look, I thought that we were first just digging up for storylines, but now I've kind of gone to their side on this. He's given 40, so he can get 45. It's like, you know, the speedometer on a car, right? And it says like 160, right? And you know, I'm probably never going to drive 160, but I could drive 160, right? So he hasn't gotten to the 45, but he could get to the 45. He's just chosen not to at this point in his career.
I believe that the audience is going to agree with me on the poll question, can TJ Warren give you 45 any given night? I believe I'm going to end up winning the argument according to the populace.
All right. I don't think there's any scenario where the audience is ever going to agree with you.
That's always in play as well. How about on this? Because they might agree with this. The John Wick director has said something that I agree with and put this on the poll as well at Lebatard Show, that there should be an Oscar for stunt work. So put it on the poll. Should there be an Oscar every year for stunt work? Because I feel like there should be.
I mean, Tom Cruise would like quadruple the amount of Oscars. Does Tom Cruise have an Oscar?
I don't think he does. Does he?
Well, he would if this award was in place.
Action movie of the year. They've just reinvented the Oscars. The Oscars are the most boring award ceremony of all of them, right? They have to be. There's nothing more boring than the Oscars, right? At least the Grammys have like performances. The Oscars have performances, but it's like performances of some violin song from some film that I've never heard of. That's an independent film and like Austria or something.
Tom Cruise was nominated 3 times, did not win.
The question I appreciate
any given night he can give you an Oscar.
I mean, got robbed, Top Gun.
I appreciate Roy that you got in there factually, but I actually wanted to spend a segment discussing where you would have given Tom Cruise his Oscar because he's the same cocky guy in every movie he's ever played. I don't know where you would have given him this Oscar that you believe him to have won.
Magnolia, Jerry Maguire, born on the 4th of July. Those aren't good enough for you.
Magnolia was viewed as a terrible movie, even though I liked it.
The Last Samurai?
Night and Day.
Does The Last Samurai even get made today with Tom Cruise as a samurai?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What about that movie we made a couple of years ago with Matt Damon, like being a superhero on the wall, the Great Wall of China?
He was fighting dragons, so you had to suspend some level of disbelief.
So wait, you're telling me The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise simply couldn't be made because we didn't need a white person playing a samurai. This is where America is going to change.
I will concede that contextually it made sense, but I'm not going to argue on the merits of that movie being made today.
Well, what made less sense? Tom Cruise as a samurai or Matt Damon as a Chinese superhero of some sort?
The Matt Damon one was so bad because he was like from China, apparently. Like, he was just working on the Great Wall fighting dragons.
I would love to hear that brainstorming meeting. Who can we get to play a Chinese superhero? What about Damon?
Let's go. Sold.
Let's go. I know. I've got the perfect place to find a Chinese person. Boston. Let's get an actor from Boston to represent diversity.
SBN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast.
All right, so help me out here because I did not see the movie The Mexican, but was Brad Pitt playing a Mexican in The Mexican? And is there a new movie coming out where Shia LaBeouf is playing a Mexican gangster? Because Amin El Hassan has just sent me a trailer, and I can't totally tell looking at Shia LaBeouf if a movie's coming out soon that has Shia LaBeouf as a Mexican. So therefore, Latin portrayals were still okay on. We're not okay with Tom Cruise being a samurai. I just want to make sure I have this straight. We're not okay anymore with Tom Cruise being a samurai. We're not okay anymore with Matt Damon being a superhero who helps us rescue the Great Wall of China. Help me with The Mexican.
Okay, I can help you with The Mexican. I haven't seen The Mexican, but I believe The Mexican is a reference to a gun in Mexico, a Mexican antique gun that Brad Pitt is trying to find, and that is the Mexican in the story. I did a very quick Google search, and I think I confirmed this, but I didn't read the article all the way. To the Great Wall, starring Matt Damon. Now, he wasn't a superhero, although I can see why you think that, because he is fighting dragons. He is actually playing a European mercenary that has found his way to China to help this problem. Apparently, the Great Wall was built to save China from dragons.
In the movie The Mexican, Brad Pitt's character, the name of his character is Jerry Welbach.
Remember when Shia LaBeouf was just kind of hitchhiking around America and he'd just get in anybody's car and go anywhere with anyone, and we were trying to get listeners of the show to pick him up so we could talk to him? There's simpler times, huh? Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the love of God, I didn't think the year was going to get a whole lot worse from Kobe Bryant dying. Like, I mean, good God. Everything is upside down. Let me explain to you, Stugatz. I'm not even making this up, okay? We are crawling on our hands and knees to a break here because we've just been working a lot over nonstop over many, many months under, wearying conditions. So wearying that in the last break, I'm not making this up, this happened. I thought, what an idiot I am. I just tried to put a pair of glasses on the pair of glasses that I already have on, and followed that up by absolutely struggling, like in the same moment as I was thinking this, to put a mask on the mask I was already wearing without realizing that I was wearing a mask. That happened during the last break. I had two pairs of glasses on and two masks, and I only meant to have one of each. I'm not making any of that up.
Better safe than sorry, man.
I mean, I've tried, just because I wear my glasses so much, Dan, I don't know if this will make you feel any better, where when I put on my contacts, I don't feel the glasses at the top of my nose, so I go to push them up, and I just poke myself right in between the eyes.
I want to be very clear about the Great Wall. This wasn't Hollywood whitewashing this movie. This was actually made by a Chinese filmmaker, I believe, for China. Now, it might be problematic that he felt the need to cast a white lead in this very proudly Chinese movie, but don't blame Hollywood for this one.
Okay, fair enough. I don't feel like we were blaming anyone for anything. I thought we were just laughing about the idea of whether or not Tom Cruise is believable as a samurai.
If the circumstances came up in your life, do you guys think that you have what it takes inside of you to be a superhero or just a regular hero? Like, if I find myself, you know, in a situation that I guess he found himself in where there's dragons attacking, I don't know that I'd be able to fight off dragons.
So I'm not sure what your question is exactly. Are you asking?
Would you fight dragons?
Whether I would be? Like,
yes,
no,
I would.
No, stupid.
Well, not
I would run inside,
dragons.
Billy. I would run inside. I would. I think it would be unwise to fight dragons. I believe that they have weaponry that I'm not.
Well, no, dragons don't have weapons. I mean, they have fire.
They got fire.
Yeah, they breathe fire, Bill.
Well, that's not a weapon.
What do you mean dragons don't have?
Well,
weapons?
Like it's like, you know, like in wrestling, right?
Where they can eat you.
No, well, that's not a weapon, though. That's teeth. That's just a normal human function.
Not a traditional weapon. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like in
right.
wrestling
yes.
when they do the mist and they just like, blow the mist in your face, like, and there's like your face is all... That's not a weapon, technically, right? It's just like the green mist.
Yeah, well, what are you making a weapon? Now you've got a dragon with a samurai sword? Like you need
Dan,
something in the dragon's tiny little hand?
You've taken this all over the place. We're talking about all kinds of things now. If you could be a hero, are you fighting dragons? What's a weapon? We need to stay focused here, all right? Given a circumstance where something supernatural was happening, do you think that you could save humanity or whomever? Now, that's question one. Question two is, what is an appropriate dragon weapon? Question three is, can dragons use weapons? These are all questions.
Bad ones.
They're not good questions. Not a one of them was a good question. Like I can't dispute that they are indeed questions. You might have a question about what I'm going to say right now. Warren G. joins us next.
Join us in just a minute here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Iona head basketball coach Rick Pitino wants college basketball officials to consider starting its season in January, and teams could only play league games in hopes of getting things under control with COVID-19. Novak Djokovic and his wife Helena have tested negative for the coronavirus. His media team said Thursday, 10 days after announcing that the couple had contracted the disease. And finally, getting stabbed by a pencil can leave a mark on your skin for decades because graphite particles are left in the dermis layer of the skin, the same layer of skin where tattoo ink is placed. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So this is the song, and you know that. It's available July 10th on all music platforms. Warren G. with us. It also features Ty Dolla $ign. Warren G. with us now on ESPN Radio. Thank you for making the time for us. You have had a really interesting career. So if I went back in time a little bit to the Death Row Records days or the Def Jam Records days, like what can you tell us about that time in your life?
Well, it was some of the most funnest times of my life, and it was also a learning experience at the same time as far as being able to do my music and finally let the world hear, you know, what I've always wanted to do, which is, you know, be an artist. But at the same time, it taught me how to surround myself with a good lawyer, a good manager, learn how to keep your publishing. You know, all of those, it was fun and it was a class at the same time. So that's what I got out of it. And you know, back in the day around those times in that era.
Did you learn that stuff the hard way? Did you make mistakes? Were you, did the record companies take advantage of you?
Yeah, I made mistakes. Not just being more knowledgeable of record deals. Cause if I would have been knowledgeable enough, I would have owned my masters, which is, you know, the work that you do instead of just giving the rights, you know. Well, I didn't get the rights away. I just didn't know how the business was. And that's why, you know, I'm saying now that, you know, I would have kept my masters and, you know, and just totally just, you know, I would have still worked with major labels, but I would have also explored the independency back then as far as an artist.
Did you learn what you needed to learn in time to cash in the way you should have on regulate?
I did okay with regulate. It was cool. I'm not saying I didn't, you know, I just totally got just robbed. I didn't just get totally robbed, but I feel like I didn't get what I should have got when a record company just off the beginning of the record, the company made like $100 million. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. But then you go down the line, like right now, like at the age I'm at now, it's, you know, it's saying you're unrecouped. How are you unrecouped? And you guys made $100 million. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't spend $100 million on promoting the record. So, you know, but it's, that's just the game that's played, you know, and it's, you know, I ain't bashing all labels or I ain't even bashing Def Jam. It's just that I should have been up on more of mine and, you know, and they should have been more loyal to me because of what I did when the company was going a certain way. What the music I put out saved the whole company and opened doors for all the other artists that came after me, which was like Jay-Z, DMX, Redman, Method Man, Foxy Brown, you know, the other artists, you know. So that was that.
Did it take a long time for Dr. Dre to come around on your music?
Nah. We started, you know, we came to him. He heard a demo tape that me, Snoop, and Nate had, and he was like, you guys come up to the studio on Monday. And Snoop didn't believe me, so I had to call him on the three-way just, you know, and to let him tell him, yes, I want you guys to come to the studio on Monday. And from that day on, we never turned our turn back. We just kept going, and we came in, and, you know, Dre wanted to do the Chronic, so we all put our heads together and said to ourselves, like, how can we, you know, help Dre and get, you know, become a crew with him and build and be successful. So that's what we did. My job was to go out, find samples. He taught me how to produce around that time too. So all the things that he taught me, it's even splicing tape, you know, all those things he taught me, it helped with helping with that record and everybody else that was involved. So it was a team effort, a family effort between all of us.
What is your relationship with him? He's your stepbrother, right?
Right, right. I mean, I've been with him all my life since I was a pup. So we brothers, stepbrother, brothers, however people call it. You know, we good. We cool. We talk. Me and Snoop talk. It's cool. We all good. We family.
But do you work with him?
We haven't worked in a while. I've been on the road. Me and Snoop was on the road for a while before this whole coronavirus thing came in. So we finally got some time to you know, come back and relax and be with the families and stuff. And what this type of situation makes you sit and get a chance to really think about a lot of things. And so, I mean, we've been digging into different, you know, digging into music and talking back and forth. So we'll see. We'll see.
Warren G with us here on ESPN Radio. His new single. Yeah, and you know that. Featuring.
You know that.
Yep. Featuring who? Go ahead. Tell the audience featuring who, because it sounds better coming out of your mouth than mine.
Oh, yeah. It's the new single, Warren G, featuring Ty Dolla $ign. And you know that. Be on all platforms July 10th. Don't forget about Sniffin' Griffin's Barbecue. SniffinGriffin'sBarbecue.com, where you can get the best rubs and sauces right now at the same time.
It's a
cross-platform.
Wait a minute. What just happened?
I'm going to send you guys some of it, too, so don't...
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, but what just happened? Yes, Roy very badly wants that. He loves free stuff. But, and you know that, what does that have to do with what just happened there?
It's about feeling good. Yeah. You know, it's a feel-good thing. When you barbecue and music is what drives good feelings and gatherings, you know, when you can, you know, right now they're tripping on the gatherings, but everybody that has a cookout has good music, and that's what it's about. Yes, indeed.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Are they tripping with the gatherings?
I'm with Warren. Warren, help me out here. Describe the best you can what it's like being on the road with Snoop.
It's fun. A lot of comedy. We laugh and talk. You know, and we get our blaze on and just go out and do a good show, man, and rock the crowd. Every show we do is sold out, and we just have a good time, man. Just bouncing from state to state, even from country to country. When we out the country, it's always a good time.
That was weird. That was weird. The first the couple of months that Snoop said he wasn't going to blaze. Like, what happened there? For a while there, he quit, but it lasted about 6 minutes.
Well, I mean, I don't know what he was going through, but I guess he just got tired at that point. It was like, you know, let me take a break real quick, and it was real quick. A real quick break.
Do you, can you tell us, can you explain to us how your life changed with Regulate?
I was able to help out my family a little bit more, I was able to put myself in, you know, just independently in my own home and able to get me a nice car and just be able to do things around the community and give back to, you know, the place that made me who I am, which is Long Beach, California. Yeah, and that's what it did for me.
The music, the music community has always been very strong in times like these in terms of putting into the music, baking into the music, some of the unrest. What does Warren G make of what's happening in America right now?
I mean, it's you know, you have some injustice here. The problem, I ain't going to say the problem. The thing is that we just have to vote. It has to be laws implemented to stop the things that's going on as far as, like, the guy who put his knee on the other guy's neck and then the chokehold. Those things need to be banned. And one thing I'm going to say also is that these things are not geared towards all cops. It's geared towards the injustice of the ones that's not following the rules. And then you have good guys, and then you have the guys that's doing stuff that's unnecessary. If you got somebody handcuffed, what are they gonna do? They can't run, they can't fight you, they can't swing. Sit them in that car, you know, until you run the check on them, and if the check come back clean, uncuff them, let them go. You know, and then the racial stuff is going on is just unnecessary, you know, because it's too many black, white, Mexican, Asian babies that's mixed together. So it's bigger than just racism, you know, because you have all these different races intertwined now. So it's bigger than that. You know, it's all about just equality, just everybody, no matter what color you are, what race you are, whatever. It's just being, just everybody being equal and fair, you know, and that's it, you know.
And you know that is,
and you know that
is the new single. It's available July 10th on all music platforms. Warren G, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you guys, man, for having me.
All right, I want some of that Sniffing Griffins, man. I want some of that.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm going to send the mail. Yes, indeed. All right, I got you.
BN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Clean nose, healthy life. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal. Go to Navage.com. That's NAVAGE.com. You'll love that clean nose feeling. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life.
Mike Ryan has just seen a photo of Zion Williamson. If I ask you, what do you think happened to Zion during the pandemic in terms of weight gain or weight loss? I think many of you might have guessed weight gain. He looks shredded. He looks like a superhero. He looks like he's lost a good deal of weight and is uncommonly fit.
I don't think he's actually lost weight, Dan. He might be a bigger load right now because he's all muscle in this photo. Granted, he's lifting and he's got very much a gym pump in this photo, but those shoulders, he's looking cut. That's not the way I had
it. He's looking leaner. He's looking, he probably hasn't lost weight, but he has lost fat.
Well, Mike's saying he's probably gained weight because of the muscle. So, because he is shredded, so much so that I'm thinking about betting the Pelicans, a little flyer on the Pelicans to win an NBA title here. And Mike says they have the easiest schedule.
Billy is going to nervously open up the club in a second. But, Mike, what did I hear you say about Chris Berman and the Eagles?
Roy informed me, and he sent me the Hoffheimer tweet to confirm it. So Chris Berman's been singing Eagles lyrics on ESPN for decades on end. He's going to do an intro for the latest bit of ESPN programming, a live Eagles concert from the Forum that was taped several years ago. We are doing a concert film.
But what?
I mean, we are.
Sunday, I believe.
We are. Really? We're doing a concert film?
What?
Did I just see
We are playing a concert film on ESPN.
Wow. Did I just see on Get Up that they're also going to air Mighty Ducks movies?
I mean, that makes sense.
Right. Sports movies.
That makes sense, Dan. No, well, but I mean, the Air Buds, too, should be aired. Should they not?
We haven't yet.
We have been. I've seen the lower third promote them.
I mean, quite frankly, at this point, at this stage in the game, a Boomer introducing an Eagles concert. I mean, is it not the right programming? I mean, what else are we going to do?
Who else should they play a concert of? Because I feel like Bruce Springsteen would be like the obvious number one choice, right? For like sports writers, like, oh, ESPN, the boss.
The boss. You stole Stugatz's line. Let's go ahead.
I've had really bad topics today, haven't I?
You've been unusually bad, yes.
Mm. It's all right.
Go ahead and open up the club and nervously botch this and send us into vacation. It's rare that he says, I've been bad today out loud. Usually that's an inner thought.
Yeah. My filter's gone. It's just...
When you know, you know, though.
Exactly. I've accepted it. And just... I'd say we all know this is going to go poorly. Like, this is going to be a disaster.
The club? Well, yeah, I'll tell you how. I was going to start the segment by asking you to update us on the Jay Cutler thing quickly, but I know that
impossible.
You don't do quickly. Yeah, yes. So let's go ahead and just send people, because a lot of people are not working tomorrow. The holiday is Saturday, but many of you are off tomorrow. So let's open up the club, even though clubs are closed. Except for the one Vanilla Ice will be performing in Dallas this weekend.
The Worcester Railers HC, I guess that's Hockey Club, sent a Zamboni piggy bank.
Yes! Sheer delight in my voice. You got nothing but crap from every team that
week.
Sent you anything. Who else is in the club?
Cam! I hear you, bro.
That is Stephen A. Smith, very excited about Cam Newton to the Patriots.
Cam! I hear you, bro.
Who else? Nobody says nothing better. Yes! Yes! Who else is in the club?
You know, I hear silence, and I want to putty it in.
I am grateful that I'm off next Tuesday. Who else is in the club?
Good for him. You know, happy birthday. John, that's I think.
There is Greg Cody petering out in a happy birthday wish to John Elway, forgetting that his job is to make radio that is easy and good to listen to.
Good for
to.
Him. You know, happy birthday, John, that's I think.
That type of thing.
I love him.
Who else is in the club?
Thursday, I got the test. So Friday, perhaps today, maybe tomorrow, probably Wednesday. I'm hoping Friday.
Who else is in the club? It ended up being Thursday. Stugatz came back in Thursday, a day later than his latest projection.
At the time, I could only get two of the quicker tests, and I wanted them to have it.
We don't believe that he got any testing. We just think he didn't want to drive in 4 days in a row and was lying to us. Who else is in the club?
God, I love these listeners.
That's not true. He does not.
God, I love these listeners.
That's untrue. Ron McGill does not love the listeners. Who else is in the club?
The number you currently have in your head is 3. Boom, baby!
That was amazing.
It was not amazing. It was a simple math trick. He was reading off of a computer. I am remiss in not having gotten to what animal Chris Cody would like to be this weekend before he went on vacation. That'll have to wait until after vacation.
0%.
That is Buster only telling you the chance that baseball finishes its season.
0%.
And the chance we get to that.
I said it's 1%.
And he said 5% about ending the season. Who else we got?
I care about you guys. I'm doing this for you and Dan. This is not about me.
Yes. Vacation!